Sir, that's the
prayer of all of our hearts, our desire as Christians. Perhaps we can learn by looking at a man whom the Lord wanted to use and did begin to use, as he promised he would, but things kind of went to pot because of the man's own approach to life. Chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And Samson went. This was a volitional act. He had a choice as to what he was going to do, and he chose what he was going to do. He went. And then it says he went down. He went down. Remember the man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho? What happened to him? He fell among thieves. He ran into problems. When you choose in life to go down as compared to going up the way the Lord would have us go, yes, it may seem the easier time for the moment, but be sure that we'll run into problems and things will start unraveling. In Hebrews, we have a book of better things. And as Christians, we can choose to go down or to go to the better things. In Hebrews chapter 1, we read about someone who is better than the angels. In chapter 6, 11, and also chapter 12, we read about better things. Chapter 7 of Hebrews, we read about a better hope and a better testament. In chapter 8, we read about a better covenant and better promises. Chapter 9, about better sacrifices. Chapter 10, better possessions. Chapter 11, a better country and a better resurrection. So right away we can learn from Samuel's life. He went, he chose, and he went down. He could have chosen the better things that God had for him, but he chose to go down. And then it says he went down to Timnath. Now, Timnath was a town in the land of the Philistines. It wasn't deep in the land of the Philistines. It was just across the border. Perhaps Samson thought to himself, well, now, I know I'm not supposed to be hobnobbing with the enemies of God, but it's just across the border. It's not deep into Philistine territory like Ashkelon. It's just across the border. He went down just a Timnath. And here is a lesson for us also as Christians. Watch the direction that we go. Yes, it may only be a little ways, just a little bit like the world. Actually, I'm not doing the things that they do. I'm just being a little bit like them. It's just across the border. It's just at Timnath. Samson went down, and he went down to Timnath. The Philistines, you know, I think it's interesting that Samson chose to go to the land of the Philistines rather than stay in the land of Israel. The Philistines were the oppressors of Israel, remember? They were groaning under the hand of the Philistines. And here he chose to go to the land of the people who were oppressing them. My fellow believer, it is the world and Satan working through the world that oppresses us. Let us not have anything to do with it. Let us not emulate them in our desires, in what we do, in the goals of our lives. Yes, it may be just across the border, but this is not where the Christian belongs. May our lives be solidly in the Lord's camp. Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman. That's the next step. It was a setup for evil, and he dropped right into it. He went, he chose, he went down, went the wrong way, went to Timnath just across the border, and right away his eye is caught by a pretty young girl. If we make wrong choices, they may seem like small choices, but they can have a major effect on our lives. David chose not to go to battle one day, and he saw a woman. And there we have the setup for that awful, awful blot on that wonderful man's life. because you made a small, wrong choice. My fellow believer, let's watch these little choices. Becoming just a little bit like the world. It certainly applies to the area that we're talking about here. The Bible in 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. It also applies to other areas too. The Bible talks about the love of money in 1 Timothy 6:11 and says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. In the materialistic age in which we live, it's so easy to get just across the border a little bit. Just a little bit like the world. Have a little bit of the world's ideals in our mind, and we become more and more. We set up the situation, and then we find that it can become a snare to us. Would you turn to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, if you would? You remember the story of Peter, how he was warming himself by the fire of the world, and soon he was denying the Lord. He set up, he made a choice, and he set things up, and he fell into the hole that was waiting for him there. In Genesis 3:6, we read, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Next step, she took of the fruit thereof. So the next step, she did eat. And then what happened? She gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. See the stepwise progression here? She saw. She should have turned right away. She should have fled. She should flee from this situation. Instead, she saw. And she must have just spent a little bit more time looking at it. You know, that looks kind of good. And then she took. And the next step was she ate. And then she gave. I think this is something for us as Christians to remember. We don't live to ourselves and we don't die to ourselves. And when we allow these small choices to go down, we can start pulling others with us. Yes, I can stop partway down, but it doesn't always work that way. Watch the early steps. Now the next step in verse 2, he came up, back in Judges now, Judges 14:2, and he came up and told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. The next step. He shouldn't have been in Philistine territory at all. He goes just across the border. Now he's getting deeper and deeper. And in verse 3, he gives his reason. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. The New American Standard says, she looks good to me. That was his reason. She looks good to me. This was not, verse 4 says, but his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. God was going to work here through Samson. We know it was not God's directed will for Samson to go and marry a person from the Philistines. And if you'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, we can prove that very rapidly. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 1. The Lord is talking to the Israelites here, and he says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. So they had very specific, direct guidance in their advice to Samson not to marry this girl. And the Lord tells them why. Verse 4 here in Deuteronomy 7, so they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Back to Judges. So we know that the advice of these godly parents was wise. Samson, you shouldn't have anything to do with that girl. You shouldn't be marrying her. You can find a nice, lovely Israelite girl, someone who loves our God. No, she looks good to me. Get her for me. He's getting deeper and deeper. But it does say that this was of the Lord. What does that tell you what it means to me? It means that God is so great that he will even work through stubborn people and his will be accomplished. Oh, it won't be for the credit of that person, but God will have his way. He is sovereign. And even when this person disobeyed God's will, God was working through it to start to begin to deliver the Israelites out of the hand of the Philistines. We will see later on at the end of chapter 14 that Samson never really got to live with this woman as his wife, the woman he so wanted. God saw to it that he didn't. He was a frustrated man. God did have his way, and God did begin to work through him, but it was not to Samson's pleasure and for his credit. You remember what the Lord said to Pharaoh? He said, "For this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." God is sovereign, and he will work even through stubborn people to accomplish his will. Yes, all things work together for good for those who love God. I have a choice in my life of making right choices or wrong choices, of going to the better things or going down. When I choose the better things, God will use me, God will work for me, through me, and there will be great good that can occur. When I choose to go down, God is so sovereign, yes, he will have his way in spite of what I do, but it will not be to my credit. It will not be to my pleasure. I think knowing this truth is a help as we see things in the world that really seem upside down, topsy-turvy. You know, why is this happening? Yeah. It seems that this person just thumbs his nose at the Lord and is getting away with it. God is sovereign, and he will have his will. He will have his way. But it will be for the honor and glory of the Lord and for good of those who love the Lord. Verse 5, imagine the heavy hearts of Samson's parents. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. So what this means to me is that success does not prove the stamp of God's approval upon what is being done. God is sovereign, and he will work the way he chooses to. The Spirit of God came upon Samson. God had said this man would be a very strong man, and he would begin to deliver the Philistines out of the Israelites out of the Philistines' hands. And I think herein is a lesson. Just because things might be going well for us, just because maybe God is even using a situation or using us, does not mean God's stamp of approval on every single thing we do. God is sovereign, and he will have his way, and he will work. And I think in this verse is a real insight into Samson's personality. If I've been walking along a country road, say a road in Africa, and a lion leapt out at me, and I tore the thing apart as you could a lamb, and killed the thing with my bare hands, I think everyone within 500 miles would know what I had done, because I'd be so impressed hey man, look what I did. Samson never even bothered to tell his parents. Perhaps this was a good aspect that he wasn't boasting, or perhaps it was simply that he was such a strong, self-sufficient guy, it never even registered that much in his mind. Yeah, of course I killed a lion. Yeah. the what. If that is the reason, then of course we can learn from that too. That what God has given us, be thankful to Him. Appreciate it. Recognize it is from Him, something that He could take from us at any time. It is to be used for His honor and glory. I remember one time one of the cardiac surgeons that I trained under in my residency, a man who is worldwide, has worldwide fame. And we were making rounds one time after he had done open heart surgery on a lady. The lady was obviously a Christian. And it was the day that she was supposed to go home, and she thanked the doctor for taking care of her and for the surgery. And she said, and I thank God, too, for His healing power. I thank Him for helping you through the operation. You know what the surgeon said? Frankly, I didn't even notice that God was in the room when I was operating on you. That's the world today. Strong, self-sufficient, I can do it. The Bible says, what do we have that we haven't received? Everything that we have is a gift from God. It's to be appreciated and to be used for His honor and glory. And after time, verse 8, he returned to take her and turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and the honey and the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hand and went on eating. And came to his father and mother, and he gave to them, and they did eat. But he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I'll now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it with me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if ye cannot declare it unto me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of raiment. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And he could not in 3 days expound the riddle. Now notice what's happening here, verse 15. Remember, Samson's been dabbling around in a country he should have never been in. He's fallen in love with this woman he should have never fallen in love with. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us a riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire, and have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And what's Samson's wife's response? No way. I'm married to this man. He's my first love. I'm not going to turn him in. I'm not going to try and get his riddle to you. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not, and hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it to me. She starts working on him, nagging him. You ask for trouble, you're going to get trouble. Samson, you should have never gone down in the first place. Now he's got this nagging wife. And now what is his response? He said unto her, behold, I have not told it to my father nor my mother. Shall I tell it unto thee? Samson, Samson, you've married a person. You are supposed to be one with that person. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Where was Samson's allegiance? Back home. To his wife, with whom he was to be united for life? No way. How about his wife? Where was her allegiance? To her Philistine relative. What a setup. Is this going to be a happy marriage? No way. Ask for trouble, we'll get it. He went down just across the border, got deeper and deeper and deeper, and look at the mess he's in now. God has given us rules, my dear brothers and sister, for our happiness. And we break these rules to our own detriment. Certainly in the field of marriage, the Bible tells us clearly, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Many have destroyed their usefulness for God because of disobeying this rule. Well, perhaps I can win them to the Lord. The Bible says, don't do it. Don't do it. You ask for it. You know, sometimes, I remember years and years ago, a young woman who was not a Christian, and her husband had married her when he was a Christian and she was not. She made a profession of trusting the Lord as Savior. And one day she said in a Bible study, you know, If my husband hadn't disobeyed God and married me when I was not a Christian, I would have never been saved. Well, first of all, that's not a true statement, because she could have been saved if the Lord could have reached her anyway at all. But now, years later, I know about that home. It's a broken home. It's a sorrowful home. It's a home where there's fighting, where there's problems. We break God's rules, and we have to pay the consequence. Samson, he should have never gone down in the first place. Should a person date a non-Christian? Well, by what we see here, I don't think a Christian should date a non-Christian. It's going down. It's going the wrong direction. It's asking for things, not the better things, but it's going down. Materialism, the Bible says, love not the world. We've touched on that, neither the things that are in the world. We should guard our minds that we don't get pulled into a little bit more and a little bit more. Jim Wright and the problems he's having right now in the Congress, the Speaker of the House. I was reading in Time magazine this week that they attribute at least some of his problems to his wife and having given him a desire for more and more materialistic things, and therefore the need to buy more and more, more money to buy things. In fact, Jim Wright has made the statement to this effect that my wife taught me to enjoy the finer things of life. Now look at the problems he's in. Yes, as Christians, I realize we need good things to live, we need food and raiment, but therewith be content. You know what I'm talking about, getting way beyond into the ideals and goals of the world. I've just got to have this to be happy. No, having food and raiment, therewith be content. Emotions, yes, this same principle applies to emotions. The Bible tells me, love one another. And if I find in my heart an irritation for a certain brother or a certain sister, and when I even see that person, I find irritation growing up in my heart, and I just kind of avoid them. Think of Samson. If I allow this, it's going in the wrong direction, and it can become worse and worse. The Lord, in talking to his disciples, said, you've heard it said of old time, whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. So yes, I would never think of killing that person. Oh, no, by no means. But I sure can't stand the person. Well, the Bible tells me that's going in the wrong direction. That's going down. And what should I do? By those verses that we're reading in the opening services. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Fellow Christian, watch the early directions that our hearts go. Don't allow little things in our lives. Well, yeah, a little irritation, a little lack of love, because it's going in the wrong direction. Use of time, does it apply to that? Yes, it does. Do I find it hard, as our brother Charles was saying? He hoped we all this morning took at least a little time to open the Word and spend time in it. Do I get too busy for it? Do I get too lazy for it? It's the wrong direction. It's going down. And yes, it seems something that can easily, I'll read tomorrow, can easily be handled. But it can get worse and worse. It's going down. And all of a sudden, there's major, major problems. The Bible, the Lord Jesus told us, do this in remembrance of me. Do I find it a little hard to get up in the morning, to get there in time for remembering the Lord and the breaking of bread and the drinking of the wine? Maybe just today I'll sleep in. It's going down. It's the wrong direction. Verse 17, and she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day, he told her because she lay sore upon him. Here's this, what should have been a happy time of his life. And his wife for a week is nagging him and crying on his shoulder. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him the 7th day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. What did Samson get for all his problems, all his disobedience? He got all sorts of problems. He got a nagging wife. He got betrayed. He got made a fool of in front of those he was trying to look good to. He was a frustrated man. He was an angry man. Verse 19, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Again, God's fulfilling his promise. He would use Samson to begin to deliver the Israelites out of the hands of the Philistines. He went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave changes of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. Even though he had killed these people, he was still an angry, frustrated man. Samson, you asked for it, dear boy. You asked for it. You knew you shouldn't have been going down to the land of the Philistines. Yes, it was just across the border, but look at the mess you've got yourself into. And here's the woman that he loved, the one that he was so taken with. Verse 20, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. He didn't even get the one that he was so desirous of having. No, the Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My brother and sister, Satan, the world, our flesh, would tell us otherwise. You know, the hard way to go is the Christian way. That's the hard way. No, it isn't. Not in the long run. It's the easy way. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So here we have Samson, a man who started off with such capabilities, started off with a real promise, but he doesn't depend upon the Lord. He's self-sufficient. I can handle anything. If I want it, I'll do it. If it looks good to me, I'll take it. Give it to me. I want it. That's the way he's going to run his life. He's going to ignore God's commandments and look at the problems that he ran into. Is God sovereign? Oh, yes, God is sovereign. He began, and we'll see this evening, as we continue to take up this topic, we'll see this evening how God exactly fulfilled what he said he would do, begin to deliver the Israelites out of the Philistines' hand. But what happened to poor Samson? Poor Samson just had no end of sorrow and problems because he chose to go down. May I just make one final contrast? Samson's name means like the sun. Like the sun in the heavens. And yes, for a while, Samson was a bright, shining light. A powerful man. He rose and he fell. There's some similarity, but there's marked contrast to the sun, our sun, the Son of God. Samson was like the sun, but he did not measure up. Samson and the Lord Jesus, their birth was foretold, both of them, by special heavenly appearances. The contrast was their life. What did Samson say when he wanted something? Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. She looks good to me. What did the Son of God say? Not my will, but thy be done. Samson was tempted by the lust of the flesh, and he hit the dirt. Christ was tempted by the lust of the flesh. All this will I give to you if you fall down and worship me. The Lord says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. In their death, they were very different. Samson died because of his own sins, his own stupidity. The Son of God died because of our sins. And that's the choice that we come to today. Should there be anyone who is here who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Jesus Christ died for my sins and he died for your sins. And each one of us have a choice. To say, yes, I will accept him as my Savior and let him run my life, be Savior and Lord of my life. Or no, I will choose to go down. He doesn't force us. He gives us the opportunity of choosing. We'd like to sing one more song and have Gracie join us.